With that, Richard, we'll turn to you on benchmarking, please.
This morning, I think you had in front of you is the follow-up to the paper that we discussed in the last week. I apologize for the length. It is long because it includes a substantial annex, which actually goes to the detail of the work we've done. But when I read the paper, I inherited it and finished it. I thought, actually, I'm going to talk about this one. So that's why you have the long annex. But we looked at 50 regulators and international standards of the system around the world, looked at their due process as far as it's available publicly, and then compared it with our own across a series of key issues. And the conclusion, I certainly wasn't surprised, was that the ISB, the IFS Foundation's due process is best in class. Across virtually all of the issues, there was great transparency and clarity, better checks and balances than was available elsewhere. One or two others get very close, as you can see in the paper. There was only one issue where perhaps the process here is less comprehensive, and that is in the really quite narrow issue of the circumstances in which comment letters would not be made public, where the IFS Foundation's assumption is that the comment letters are made public, and some other standard setters have explicit rules on when it can be the person who's prepared the letter can actually ask it to be kept private. My sense looking at this is that if we were to go down that route further, we would lose transparency. So I think although we have a less clear process there, I think we're interested. So the purpose of the paper is just to update you on where we've got to on this. There are no decisions to be made, but
questions on this whole benchmarking exercise that's been undertaken by both David and Richard picking that up and completing it. Sheila, please.
Have we actually benchmarked our due process itself? And I'm just asking in the sense of, have we ever challenged if there is too much process rather than too little process? And are there things we can learn from others to perhaps make the process more efficient?
Efficient and effective. The work that we are going to be doing next on key performance indicators, I think we'll start to see some of that out, where there are obviously tensions between the very high quality due process and the speed and efficiency with which we can develop standards. I didn't see when I went through this that there are areas where we should be doing less because others did less. Often it was less. If I were to draw a broad conclusion, I would say that the standards that have the most international acceptance are those where there is the best due process. So if you reduce the due process, there's less acceptance. I'm sure that's not how the equation works, but that was where the conclusion.
I think a very worthy question, Sheila, for sure, because I think that too much of a good thing is too much. And can you in fact find a way to walk that fine line? Because you can look at our calendar, and if you want to be a critic, you could say, wait a minute, this was originally expected on base X when it got added to the agenda, and when it finally matured, it was on base X plus something. And is that good? Is that not good? And when we're seeking consensus, or we're seeking global acceptance, and I can understand the need to be thorough, but I think the challenge she was putting on the table is, in addition to being thorough and consistent, can we also be effective and efficient? And I think it's a very fair challenge from the committee. Tom, please.
Thank you, Jim. My question is about what Richard mentioned as a possible issue where we may not be to the best. That is in relation to not having any rules about what comment letters would not be made public. And I was just wondering whether, along with our consultation paper, if we were to say that all comments would be made public, we would solve that problem.
I think that's where we are. The issue is, should we be saying also, if you don't want to be public,
Any other questions? Any other questions on this benchmarking exercise? I know if you wanted to be a critic, you could say that it's self-serving. If you want to look at the amount of effort that's gone into a very rigorous effort to try to answer the question, are there some things that other standard centers are doing that we should do? I commend the staff for being comprehensive and complete and looking at it, and I think it's healthy and helpful, and I think it's fine if, as a product of looking at a variety of standard centers, we come to the conclusion that we might actually be setting the bar and leading rather than there being significant gaps between what we're doing and what we might view as something we might try to brand as some kind of a best practice. But Richard, thank you for the hard work and also for just somewhat taking that on as part of your onboarding into this new role to really understand how you can perform your essential role and how it's being done by